Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for the Nonprofit Snapcast. I am lucky to be speaking today with Robert Brodny. Robert is the CEO and founder of a company called Launchpads. Isn't that correct, Robert?
Yes, sir.
What does Launchpads do?
Launchpads is a cutting edge software provider that provides software to growing businesses that's more affordable and more advanced than what else is on the market, than the other things on the market. And what we do is we use behavior data to drive communications for a business.
So that automatically leads me to a bunch of different questions. Using data to drive better outcomes for business, where do you get your data?
From your users or from the people that you interact with.
Okay. And so you're basically like, if we were to look at an average nonprofit and you were to attempting to work with them, you would be counting on them to already have some sense of that data. Isn't that correct?
Not necessarily. What we do is we take pretty much on an inbound marketing stance is where we gather the data. So as somebody comes in from, whatever type of maybe an advertisement or a particular outreach, maybe like a phone call from someone who's looking for a donor and that person expressed interest in more about what the nonprofit does, we would essentially get the data from that person coming in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When we originally started talking about doing this episode, we were talking about, I believe it was Media for Impact.
Correct.
And so is that a Launchpad effort?
It's actually something I'm working on with a few other companies. Mm-hmm. So it, yes and no. Media for Impact is a company that it's through a company called Emerge Studios. That's a teammate of mine, if you will.
Yeah.
And what they do is they work on providing experiential based nonprofit events, if you will, where they essentially take an experience of what it is that the nonprofit is actually having an impact in, and they bring it to life using cutting edge media.
Cool. So it sounds like we have plenty of things to talk about, and I think we should talk about the Media for Impact stuff first, and come back to the data driven business strategy stuff later.
Correct.
So let's do that. I want to delve into that, but I want to make sure I'm prepared for that conversation. And
yeah, it kind of all flows together.
Oh, it does.
So the whole point of kind of like what my project is that these projects that Emerge does, and I mean, pretty much anyone that's doing these types of projects in the VR AR space, they're very expensive. The level of entry for a nonprofit is extremely high. So what my goal is I came in and I started thinking, okay, how can I make this more accessible so I can have more of an impact? And I started to kind of group together different nonprofits who might all be doing something that is kind of within the same vein. And the goal is to sort of create these impact projects using groups to be able to come up with the necessary funds to be able to actually just begin one of these projects, or not even necessarily just the funds, but also having enough reach to actually be able to have the ability to, to run a project like this and have the type of impact that these projects have. Does that make sense?
I think so. Maybe it would help if you walked me through the process in a very general sense, give me a high level view of what the process looks like from start to finish.
Yeah. So let's say, for instance, right. I want to use this. We talked a little bit about the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the project where they used virtual reality to bring a high school quarterback who suffered a random stroke, essentially, while having a surgery. Mm-hmm. They basically recreated a football game with his teammates using this technology. So what they did essentially was they produced the experience, by having all of the old football team. He was wearing one of the 3D, masks, and they had all the old football team basically out on the field with the cameras playing a game so that he was able to relive the experience, right?
Okay, yeah.
And so what they did was they created that experience, and they had, you know, they actually had the experience where they had, you know, they revealed to him basically being able to play with his teammates again, because this young boy like couldn't walk anymore randomly. He was like the all-star quarterback, couldn't walk anymore. So they recreated the experience for him using this technology. Then what happened was they revealed the actual project at a gala where they basically put people into the experience, so they were able to really see what he was going through and the experience of like how awesome it was for him to get to relive the thing that he loved most, which was, you know, playing football with his friends. And that was essentially like that entire project. Now, this same type of model was applied to another company that was called Water Project, which was essentially, you know, where they took people into the experience of what it's like for people in certain parts of the world just to get clean water. So instead of like calling someone and saying like, hey, this is the impact that we have, like our nonprofit helps people go and give water to people who don't have access to it. Instead of saying that, we showed them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I'm trying to suss out for myself is, how does this different from simple video production? Like if the objective is to tell a story, what would make this different from me simply getting a small crew to do a 15 to, you know, or a 5 to 10 minute video?
Right. Well, that video, like with traditional video methods, does still happen with these projects at the same time, but it's using, you know, virtual reality to actually put the people into the experience, as opposed to, you know, old school methods where you're just watching it on a screen.
Right.
Like there's something to be said about using these new technologies that, I mean, the difference is in the funding. Like, I guess in that water project that I was talking about, I'm just kind of looking here at the results, but
yeah.
During this 2017 gala, around $3 million was raised from that project. So in total, that project raised, like by the end of all of the fundraising efforts that they did, it raised over $7 million, which was far greater than anything that nonprofit had done in the past.
Amazing.
So it was just, the impact was astronomical, and they were able to provide, you know, like the cost of like these trucks and the different costs that are associated with actually doing the work is really high. So they were actually able to have significantly more impact by using this emerging technology, as opposed to traditional, just, you know, like you said, video methods. But that's the cool thing is that the video is still happening in the production at the same time. So it's kind of like killing two birds with one stone, if you will.
Sure. Do you find that you have to have specialized equipment on the receiving end to be able to display these projects to your audience?
Yeah. And that's why, like I said at the beginning of the call, the barrier to entry is just really high. So my goal was to try to figure out a way to lower that barrier of entry by grouping different nonprofits together who might be, you know, within similar causes. For instance, I have like 5 different nonprofits that are all on the smaller side, but they all deal with human trafficking. So the goal would be to essentially try to build one of these projects using all of the nonprofits that I can find that deal with human trafficking, and really be able to not only be able to make it so that they're all contributing to the actual project, but that they also have the donor base to be able to reach out to. And that's where then sort of like the technology that my company deals with, that's where my company comes into play, is we create automated systems so that the donor bases can be reached at a more personal level, but still at scale. So it's, you know, basically creating automated communications to help these smaller nonprofits that might not have the time or the resources to sit on, you know, hours and hours and hours of phone calls and dealing with, you know, new technology that has to do with how people come into your system to give money. That's kind of like where my business fits in.
Okay.
And in addition, I guess I am a creative at heart. So like, I'd of course like to be involved in the actual production of the VR show, if you will.
Sure. So that I'm getting a better, to pardon the pun, I'm getting a better image of how the process works for a general nonprofit. I still think, like you, we did talk about using Make-A-Wish as an actual case study. Talk to me like I'm five and explain to me how the whole process works on the ground from day one. Do I contact you? Do you contact me? Do you say, hey, Mickey, I know you've got this story to tell. Here's how we're going to do it. And then what happens next? And then after that's done, what happens after that?
Okay. So the first thing was we reached out, our team reached out and made an arrangement with Make-A-Wish. And then we found out about this young man who had the situation through Make-A-Wish. And we gathered information about that and basically planned the project. And you know that, yeah. And then executed.
right. So you walked in their door, or you knew that they had.
Well, not me necessarily, but the team. Yeah.
Sure. But so they then said, we have this particular project that needs your help, and that's how the whole thing got queued up.
Yes.
So that's a nice project specific way to illustrate how your team actually benefited one of their mission goals.
100%. And right. Then ended up raising, and the real, you know, like I said, it's having the impact at the end of the day. It's right. Making it so that project could be a reality. And, you know, we were just the mechanism that got them there, if you will.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. The water charity with the Impact Gala you guys did for the water charity. Same question there. Did they contact you? Did you contact them? What was it that they were looking for? How did you know that they had a business case that you could solve with VR?
I'm not actually sure on that one how it was initiated. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine it was probably in the same way, but I'd have to double check.
Sure.
But the real thing is like the objectives were created, you know, as the mutual objectives on behalf of what the nonprofit wanted. So I have here like a list of what the objectives were, which was heightened guest experience at their gala in San Francisco to increase donations, use media and technology to bring attendance into the field, closer to the problem, play the 2-hour VR film on the 360 screens as guests ate dinner, following the journey of a woman as she walks to collect dirty water with a child, then digitize the fundraising process to increase engagement, so donations and gamification. And so essentially there was an experience where the entire group was giving on iPads, and it was kind of creating that group, that sort of group think idea, I guess, if you will, where it's like kind of like you're not necessarily competing with, but you know, it's just like, oh, that person at the table just gave $1,000. Like I have to give $1,000. And then it's like another person is out. I was like, oh, I'll give like $1,500. And it just was a sort of like a domino effect, if you will. And during that gala, like I said before, over $3 million was raised because they basically set up around the tables of where everyone was eating. They set up these massive screens that were, I mean, you know, I'm not exactly sure how high, but they're pretty high. And, it was basically like immersing the entire audience in the experience, because anywhere you look around is the experience was happening.
Well, that was going to be my next question is like, did you expect everyone at the guest to have a VR rig? But no, I think the screens I get it. I get the picture of doing that now.
And so what's really, really cool about kind of like the innovative approach that I'm taking to it is that I also have another separate company that is, they're based in Los Angeles, but they do have locations all over the place, but they have these types of rigs already built. Mm-hmm. So like in terms of the actual production, meaning like they actually have these types of screens. That's their business, is mm-hmm. they host like artistic and immersive events like this. It's in down, like they're based in downtown Los Angeles. I'm already like, I have a, you know, a partnership with this company already. And the goal would be to, you know, get them on board with whatever project that I do end up bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. And so that it's significantly cheaper. Like I said, the main goal from my perspective is I'm trying to make it so that this type of technology and these types of fundraising initiatives can be more accessible for, you know, for nonprofits that really need the help.
Right.
You know, that's right. Like the bottom line.
Right. Because in some sense, VR is new, but it's not very new, right? It's
right.
Yeah. And so the trick is then how do you get more of a buy-in and how do you illustrate that doing that kind of a presentation actually brings the story more directly to their stakeholders.
Right. Exactly.
I think it's brilliant. And you know, what the parts of the puzzle are starting to come together for me so that between your, I'm getting more of an integrated look at how you're able to combine your own personal interests, both with the VR production and with your own business software endeavors to provide a more cohesive solution for a nonprofit. Not only can they tell the story, but you can help them immediately you can immediately help them monetize the telling of the story.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then not only that, but then in addition, like with my software and why I was like, this is such a great, you know, opportunity for me is that I can help them not only with the monetization side, but actually with all of the parts that go into the story as well. Like in terms of your communication and like gathering the information so that then you have sort of like what is going to resonate with people about the story? You know what I mean? So like, this is getting more into like the creative aspect in terms of like cross-section between the tech that I have and how we'd actually tell the story. Like, what are the things that the people that are already giving to the charity, what are the things that they want to see? What are the things that are the most impactful? The technology that I have in terms of the communication allows you to really understand like what's resonating with people. Like when people read particular emails, what hits with them that gets them to donate, even if it's just small amounts, what is working better than other things? Like understanding that data will then help to transcribe like what it is that the experience that we shoot, what is going to be told, what is the story that we're going to tell specifically to get people into that feeling. And that's like a lot of the fun part, you know? So it's just like another, it goes on kind of, it all works together, if you will.
Yeah, sure. We'd like to keep the nonprofit Snapcast to roughly 15 minutes in length. And I think we've exceeded that already.
Sorry about that.
Oh no, it's my own fault too. And clearly this is a topic that's just way too, too big.
Yeah,
you know, there's,
I mean, it's because yeah. It has the potential to have a major, major impact in the way that nonprofits raise money and, you know, have more impact, which is like the goal at the end of the day. We all just want to help people,
right?
Especially in a time like this where there's so much instability in the world that, you know, there's a lot of help that needs to be like, we need to try new things to make sure that we can have the impact that we want to have.
Yeah, no. And I want to keep having this conversation. I'd like to revisit at some point and see if we can do a slightly deeper dig on any of the several questions that remain in my mind. But it's exciting to me to hear that you're offering a solution or a set of solutions that help people go directly from their mission objectives to their business case, to the data collection, to the telling of the story, and then to monetize that. I think that is definitely something that more nonprofits should be thinking about as part of a cohesive strategy.
Wow. Thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let's definitely circle back at some point in the future and do a little bit of more of a deeper dig. In the meantime, if a nonprofit wanted to ask you more questions about the process or the costs, even, how would they get in contact with you?
Sure. They can visit my website. It's launchpads2ds.com. And you can set up a time with me through the website, through a demo, or, you know, just email missioncontrol@launchpads.com.
Very cool. thank you, Robert. Hope you have a really good day and that you're staying safe these days in the middle of quarantine.
Definitely. You too, Mickey. Have a good rest of your afternoon.
Thank you. And to our listener, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Snapcast. If you have any feedback or comments for me, the website is nonprofitsnapcast.org, or you can find us on Facebook. Just search for the Nonprofit Snapcast there. Always get DMs there. In the meantime, we hope you're all being safe and sound. See you again with another episode in about a week or so.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.